وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم ساب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue taking the khidmat of deen from you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walillahi al-mashriq wal-maghrib. Fa'aynama tuwallu fathamma wajhu Allah. إن الله واسع عليم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, to Allah belongs the East and the West. Wherever you turn, you will find Allah's presence. Undoubtedly, Allah is all-encompassing, all-knowing. You will find Allah's presence wherever you turn. Lubabun Nuqul has recorded three narrations which provide reasons for the revelation of this verse. A common factor in all these narrations is that the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, erred in determining the accurate direction of the Qibla, either because of darkness of the night or overcast conditions. They all performed their salah facing the direction they thought was most accurate in their estimation. Only when light returned did they realize how wrong they were. When they reported the matter to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained silent. It was then that Allah revealed the above verse. One of these narrations is reported in Tirmidhi Sharif. Now we discuss the law regarding the direction of the Qibla. Like many other verses of the Quran, this verse denotes that every direction belongs to Allah, not only the East and the West. Therefore, Allah reserves the right to stipulate any direction as the Qibla, a direction to face while praying to Allah. The being of Allah is not restricted to any place or direction. People have to face the direction that He ordains as their Qibla. Performing Salat in the stipulated direction will secure His pleasure. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the above verse was revealed with regard to performing nafil optional salah while on a journey. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, he performed nafil optional salah in the direction which the camel faced. Sayyidina Anas ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi reports that they received Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu as he returned from Sham, Syria. When he reached a place called Ain Nut Tamr, they noticed that he was performing salah while facing a direction that was completely deflected from the Qibla. When Sayyidina Anas ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi asked the companion, Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, about this, the latter replied, "I would never have done this if I had not seen the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do the same." Undoubtedly, Allah is all-encompassing, all-knowing. Some commentators have mentioned that Allah's knowledge encompasses everything, while others translate the word to mean that Allah is extremely lenient in His commands and passes such laws that people find easy to practice upon. Others translate the word to mean that Allah is extremely generous, while another group of commentators maintain that it means that Allah's mercy and forgiveness encompass all sins because He may forgive any of them. Ruhul Ma'ani says that Allah's kingdom and mercy encompass everything, because of which He has made the matter of Qibla easy and flexible for people. He has knowledge of every action and will even reward the person who faces the wrong direction on condition that he performs Salah solely for Allah's pleasure. Now, various rules regarding the Qibla. Facing the Qibla is one of the conditions of Salah. Salah will be unacceptable without facing the Qibla, unless fear of an enemy does not allow one to face the Qibla. In that case, any direction will suffice. That particular direction will then be regarded as a person's Qibla. Another ruling, if an individual or a group reach a place where there is nobody to show them the direction of Qibla, they should determine the direction as best as they can. Thereafter, each person should face the direction that he feels is accurate. If once they have commenced Salah, someone informs them of the correct direction, they merely have to turn in that particular direction while still in Salah. They will not have to repeat their Salah, nor start afresh. Another ruling, it will not be necessary to repeat one's Salah if one finds out after the Salah that the direction was incorrect. If a group of Muslims cannot see each other due to intense darkness, each one may face the direction he deems correct. They will then be able to perform their Salah in congregation, even though they are all facing different directions. However, if any one of the followers knows that the direction towards which the Imam is facing is contrary to the direction to which he is facing, then he will not be able to follow this Imam in Salah. The person to whose back the Imam faces will also not be regarded as part of the congregation because he is considered to be ahead of the Imam. Another ruling, when a person is traveling on a conveyance outside the boundaries of a town, he may perform nafil, optional Salah, in whichever direction the conveyance is facing. He may continue his Salah even though the conveyance changes direction. Then there's another ruling, fard, compulsory Salah can only be performed facing the Qibla. However, one is excused when performing Salah in a place when there is none to inform him of the correct direction. Then too, he will have to ponder deeply over the correct direction. Only after deliberation will he be allowed to perform his Salah. People traveling by sea, spacious trains, and aeroplanes can easily face Qibla when performing Salah. They can only face another direction if it is impossible to face the Qibla. The reason for facing towards a Qibla. A Qibla is necessary to attain unity when performing Salah. Without the Qibla, people will be facing in various directions, leading to much disturbance and disagreement. After migrating to Medina Munawwara, the Muslims faced Baitul Muqaddas in Salah, where after the Qibla was changed to the Kaaba Sharif. Inshallah, the details of this will be given. Muslims do not worship the Kaaba, but face the direction to achieve uniformity and concentration. Although they face the Kaaba Sharif, they worship Allah. It never ever crosses their minds that they are worshipping the Kaaba, unlike the idolaters who worship the idols they face. The fact that the Muslims faced Baitul Muqaddas and the Kaaba shows that worship is reserved for Allah, because the direction never really mattered to Allah, to whom belongs all directions. When Muslims throughout the world face the Kaaba Sharif in Salah, they face it from every direction, making all directions of the Kaaba a Qibla. This provides a clearer interpretation of the verse. Wherever you turn, you will find Allah's presence. وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا سبحانه بل له ما في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون بديع السماوات والأرض وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. They say Allah has taken a son. Allah is pure. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. All are subservient to him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When he decides a matter, all he says is be, and it is. The deviation of those who ascribe children to Allah. Allah immediately refutes those who say that he has a child when he says Allah is pure. The Jews said that Sayyidina Uzair alayhi salam was Allah's son, while the Christians maintain that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is Allah's son, as mentioned in verse 30 of Surah Tawbah. The mushrikeen and polytheists of Makkah used to say that the angels are Allah's daughters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Bani Israel, has your Lord chosen sons only for you and taken the angels as his daughters? You are making a preposterous statement. Verse 19 of Surah Zukhruf mentions, they make the angels who are Allah's bondsmen as females. Were they present at their creation? Their claim will be recorded and they will be questioned. The Quran denies that Allah has any children. And the fact is made clear in Surah Ikhlas, Kul huwa Allahu Ahad, where Allah says, he begets not, nor was he begotten. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. There is none that is comparable to him. Verses 100 and 101 of Surah An'am state, yet they associate the jinn as partners to Allah, whereas he had created them, and they fabricate sons and daughters for him without knowledge. He is pure from these things and exalted above what they ascribe. He created the heavens and the earth without a sample. How can he have children when he has no wife? He created everything and he has knowledge of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, they say, Rahman has taken a child. You have certainly said a grave thing. The heavens may split asunder because of it. The earth may be cleaved upon and the mountains may crash to pieces. All this because they ascribe children to Allah. It is not befitting of Rahman to take children. Everything within the heavens and the earth shall come to Rahman as slaves on the day of resurrection. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah says, the son of Adam has falsified me, whereas he should not do so. He swears me, whereas he should not. His falsification is that he says that I cannot resurrect him, whereas it is the same to me to create him the second time as I did the first time. His swearing is that he says that I have children, whereas I am pure from having a wife and children. I am the one, the independent. I beget not, nor was I begotten. There is none equal to me. The above verses and hadith spell out clearly that Allah detests that people ascribe children to him. If it were not for his extreme mercy and compassion, he would have destroyed the entire universe because of their polytheism and their shirk. None is more forbearing than Allah. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none is more forbearing than Allah in tolerating what people say. People say that Allah has children, yet he forgives them and he even sustains them. This is in Mishkat Sharif. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. All are subservient to him. For any relationship to exist between Allah and those whom people refer to as his children, some similarity has to exist. However, no one ever be at all similar to Allah. Therefore, it is impossible for them to be his children. To ascribe children to him will mean that he needs them, whereas Allah needs nothing. It will be tantamount to saying that he is not perfect and that he has defects. It is for this reason that in the hadith, ascribing children to Allah is described as swearing him. The creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah created the universe without a model, and he is the only being who is perfectly in control of it. When he decides a matter, all he says be, and it is. This verse describes the majestical power of Allah. He does not require any means or material to create anything. His mere intention to create something is sufficient to ensure the existence of the thing in question. Just as Allah does not require any means or matter, he does not also require any children and assistance. The function of children is to assist the parents and serve as their successors after their demise. Allah requires no assistance and will never die. He therefore has no need for children. Some commentators have mentioned that Allah literally says the word kun, translated above as be. People have objected to this by saying that it is not possible nor sensible to address something that is non-existent. However, this objection is invalid because the existence of the particular thing is not necessary for the address to take place. Many commentators say that Allah does not need to say kun. The term is merely an expression of the great speed with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. This is the might and the power of Allah. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in His unity, and that He has no wife and no children whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely independent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on our iman. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.